Good morning. My name is Morgan Mastronardi, and this is Ruby Mastronardi, and we're here to do the announcements for you today. So whatever brings you here, custom, crisis, or curiosity, know that you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. I just want to welcome the newcomers, and I hope that our welcome team has found you. And if you haven't already picked one of these up, this is a little welcome slip, and they are on the table in the back of the sanctuary. And then on this yellow slip, if you'd like to fill out your name and your address and your contact if it's new, and then you can drop this in the offering plate. And on the second side is a prayer request. So if you would like a prayer read aloud during the service, you can fill this out and then hand it to our ushers during prayer time. And an abbreviated order of the bulletin will appear on the screen. And if you'd like a full text, you can look at the QR code with your phone, and then it will also give you the bulletin there. Restrooms are through this door, and children are always welcome in the service. Just make sure that you stay with them, and they are always accompanied with an adult. And then through this same door, you can gather in the gathering room for service or conversation through that same door. So a couple things I want to highlight in your bulletin. On March 1st, about a month from now, there will be a congregational meeting and potluck after worship, so put that on your calendar. And then the outreach committee, looking for volunteers for the outreach program, and if you are interested, you can contact the outreach coordinator, Galen Murphy-Stanley, with any questions or if you're able to help. And then also not listed in here is the Interfaith Harmony Assembly, which is tomorrow evening. If you have any questions about that, you can find Pastor Alicia, and then we can continue with our service.
Good morning, everyone. I wish I had a baby to hold right now. That looks excellent. Welcome. I am Pastor Alicia. I am honored to say I am the pastor here because we, for one reason, we have a social justice team called Church and Society. And this team has done so many things. They're out in the community. Sometimes they're marching. Sometimes they're teaching, sometimes they're amongst other groups, just working towards social justice. And one of the things that they do quite often, usually about four times a year, is host a teach-in. And so I am excited because the newest teach-in on March 3rd is one that is near and dear to my heart, and we came up with a really great name for a really great conversation. I don't know if you saw it in the bulletin. Eve was framed. So please put that on your calendar as well. I'm just so proud to be a part of a church that has a social justice team. So two of the most powerful and poetic lessons for life appear in the scripture readings this Sunday. The definition of beatitude is supreme blessedness and happiness. Different translations use blessed or happy. In our search for happiness among the stuff of life, Have we missed the point? What difference would it make to embody a love for justice and kindness in our everyday lives, individually and as a congregation? I have some ideas. I hope you do too. Let's talk about them together. And we'll continue.
Good morning and welcome. I am Joyce Flynn, and I am the liturgist this morning. Would you please stand in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship? This is based on words of Pope Francis titled The New Beatitudes. Blessed are those who remain faithful while enduring evils inflicted upon them by others and forgive them from their heart. Blessed are those who see God in every person and strive to help others also discover God. Blessed are those who renounce their own comfort in order to help others. Blessed are those who All these are messengers of God's mercy and tenderness. Surely they will receive from God their merited reward. Our reward is eternal peace, and it starts as soon as we choose to walk on God-lighted paths and rest in the assurance that we belong to God. Please stand and join me in singing Pues Si Vivimos, which is When We Are Living. The Spanish text for the verses is in the hymnal, number 356, and it is on the screen for the refrain.
When we are living, it is in Christ Jesus. And when we're dying, it is in the Lord. Both in our living and in our dying, we belong to God. We belong to God.
Or may not exactly understand God's call for us, but we were all called to be here today, and we each answered that call. Please take a moment and greet others who answered that call with the love of Christ. When you hear the music, it is time for you to return to your seats and for the children to come forward to meet with Pastor Alicia.
Will the children please come forward as they're comfortable? Good morning. How are you today? Are you good? So I am so grateful. Someone reminded me that our congregation is so generous and brought in the hygiene items. So we're going to get those in a minute. I'm so grateful someone reminded me. Jim was one of those people who reminded me. But I wanted to quickly mention one of our scripture readings today because it kind of goes with these hygiene kits. And it's from Micah. It says, "What does the Lord God require of you?" And the answer, "But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God." So when we pick up those hygiene kits, are we doing any of these, or hygiene items, are we doing any of this stuff? Are we doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God? Yeah? Yeah, we are. And our congregation is helping us, right? Because we're doing kindness by having toothbrushes and toothpaste for our neighbors and friends, and et cetera. And we're doing justice because we're thinking beyond ourselves and fighting for change. So could you go collect all those items? And how about we put them right up here around these beautiful flowers, and then we'll say a prayer together, okay? Thank you so much. Thank you, congregation. We are forever grateful that you bring these items in for our guests. They so very much appreciate them. So we have some over here, hon. Yeah. I knew they were going to be fast. They're running and everything. Stark, is the mic okay? Because I stepped on it. Okay, I stepped on the cord. Okay. Thank you. Wonderful. Oh, okay, we're going to pray on the other. Oh, I just hit that again. Sorry, everybody. Thank you. You can put them right up here. Thank you, thank you. Look at all these items. Wow. And they're in reusable bags, which is another thing our guests need. Thank you so much. So don't forget, today, if your parents have okayed it, if you're between kindergarten and fifth grade, you can go to Sunday school with Miss Jeannie. And if you're above fifth grade, you can go sit with whoever brought you. So will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful for the generosity of our congregation, of our children, and for the generosity of not only the gifts shared, but our congregation and children who are working on this Micah text to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. We are grateful and we continue to work so hard for what you ask us to do, work for your justice. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go sit with your families or go with Miss Jeannie.
Thank you, choir. I haven't heard that in years. So, all right. The prophet Micah was challenging the traditionalists in his faith. God, Micah suggests, is not interested in strict adherence to an ancient creed, but lives filled with justice and kindness. I'm reading from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? In a world designed to serve the 1%, cultures and attitudes need to be turned upside down, both then and now. Jesus held up the least and the lost, not the rich and the pious, as those who experienced blessedness or happiness in God's kingdom. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. So the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, including the Beatitudes, were meant for a Jewish audience. The hearers of Matthew were primarily or all Jewish, and so these words come to this audience and now to us. One scholar has said, whenever we hear the Beatitudes, we are struck with their poetic beauty and at the same time overwhelmed by their perceived impracticality for the world in which we live in today. We admire the instruction, but we fear the implications of putting words into practice. We live in a time when the blessings given are to those who succeed, often at the expense of others. To be poor in spirit, merciful, peaceful, and meek will get you nowhere in this culture grounded in competition and fear. Perhaps this is why most references to the Beatitudes imply that in giving this instruction, Jesus was literally turning the values of the world upside down. So I'd like to try something today. I'd like us to imagine that we are a part of this crowd that gathers to hear Jesus' words. So let's think about this. Let's imagine this. And I'm going to read the scripture as we go along. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. How many of you have walked up to the dome for maybe a block or two? Has anyone ever done this, or walked into an event or into a concert? And there's like this thing that happens, right? All of a sudden you're walking together in this crowd and we're all going to the same place, and sometimes you might strike up a conversation with a person you never met before because we're all going up there. And the dome kind of, it's a to me, I've only done it a few times, but it's kind of a new, unique feel for me because I usually park here and then walk quite a distance up the hill, just like these crowds who went and heard Jesus did. So let's pretend we're part of that crowd, and then we get up to the where Jesus has sat down, his disciples have sat down, and we listen. Jesus said, "Blessed," meaning happy, "are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, I'm wondering, is there anyone feeling poor in spirit today? I know from time to time I feel poor in spirit. And do you see others around you in your day-to-day interactions feeling poor in spirit? I know I do every day. And how does it feel to hear the words of encouragement from Jesus? Jesus saying, "Hey, you who are poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus continues, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Now, this is not just a mourning like there's been a loved one who's been lost. That is also one kind of mourning that Jesus is talking about. But this is a deeper mourning. This is the mourning of the ills or wrongs of society. This is a deep, deep mourning. The mourning one feels when one feels there is no hope for a better life and no hope for a better world. Theologian Moltmann said, "The death knell of the church is the overall attitude at moves from anger to cynicism. Cynicism is different than anger. Cynicism has decided to accept whatever is, regardless of the consequences. Cynicism offers little hope that things will get better. The Beatitudes invite us to the opposite point of view, which is hopefulness. We place our hope in Christ, who offered hope to the hopeless. Thus, we are able to approach the world with a spirit of hope. That's what makes us Christians different than the world around us." Jesus continues, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Meek, in this translation, it's meek, but it also means humble. The Greek word used originally was meant for something even deeper. A person in power humble enough to not lord it over the people they rule. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." This sounds like quite a task, doesn't it? Righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. Are we up for the task? Can we do this, children of God? "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." As Christians, are we not to go against the grain to share and live the teachings of Jesus? This may not always be popular, but Jesus' healings of the brokenhearted and sick were not always popular to the persons in power either. Nor was his talk of love and compassion or mercy for the poor, the oppressed, or people that were different than the hearers or persons in power. Jesus' teachings went against the grain. And yet, if we were in the crowd, could we imagine feeling freed of the structures that kept us down? hearing these words of Jesus, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven." Could those of us in the crowd relate to being poor in spirit, or in deep lament of hopelessness or mourning, or humble, or maybe not being humble enough, or really just longing for true justice? The what comers? Yes. Yes. The overcomers, they are the meek. We could relate because we still feel this way about our society. When we feel these things or know others feel these things, we hear Jesus say, if this is your life narrative, you will be okay. But not just okay, you will be the children of God. How reassuring. So, how do we live into these Beatitudes? How do we embody the Beatitudes with those who are poor in spirit? In addition to being a part of those who are poor in spirit, sometimes or most of the time, or longing for change, are we able to be peacemakers striving for justice, where the low become high and the high become low, so the power structure of the haves and have-nots are more level? Our Micah text calls for justice, not charity. Charity is a band-aid over a cut. Justice is learning how the cut happened so the cut never happens again. Or as Desmond Tutu said, we need to stop just pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. I feel like we talk a lot about justice around here. In practicality, it seems we focus on charity. It is easier and feels good, but in the end, it's not God's justice. Let's work to embody the Beatitudes beyond the poverty and beauty of them and feel a part of the crowd that Jesus was speaking to. As Pavlovitz says, stop trusting that the arc of the moral universe will simply bend toward justice and decide to be arc benders. So that we remember who we are and whose we are together. Amen.
To be yoked, connected, tied to God is the sweetest freedom there is. By abandoning ourselves to God's loving kindness, we are led into paths of justice and mercy. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn number 121, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy.
Like the wideness.
seated. We now continue in prayer and reflection by sharing with each other those things laying on our hearts today. If you would like your prayer request read as a part of worship, please pass your prayer request slip that looks like this to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. Feel free to choose to be a singer or listener as we begin our prayer time seeking Christ's presence in our lives.
Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, King of my heart, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, never to part.
The sermon in the morning, shown in the front left stained glass windows.
Thank you. I saw someone looking over there. So which one is it, the person who put that? Oh, over here. I saw people looking that way. So, okay. Where is it, Jane? Two central panes, first window. Sermon on the Mount. Thank you, Jane.
We will begin our prayer time with a time of silence for personal reflection. I will share a prayer, and then we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer using the words and language that are most meaningful to you. Now settle yourself and open your mind and heart to the gentle calling of the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Creator God, you see as blessed the many among us who are too often perceived by those in power as a drain on society, lazy, weak, unimportant, too passive, or too outspoken. Ever-present God, who blesses us in so many ways, we recognize that all of your children are not as blessed as we are. We know you care for each and every person throughout the world and call on us to share our blessings by working towards social, environmental, and economic justice for all. We are thankful for the many people in the world who see injustices and speak out against them, who give of their time or their money or their talents to lift up and enable others, who act to right wrongs instead of accepting the status quo. Help us to have the courage and the strength to also speak up and to act in positive ways to bring about the change needed, to improve the environment, to work toward world peace, to take action against injustices in our community, to empower our sisters and brothers right here in our neighborhood with our time, our caring, and our compassion. And now we pray together the prayer you have taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
What a blessed day today is. Today we receive Holy Communion. So I just have a few logistics to go through before we get to receiving. So as our ushers, once we talk, the ushers will come down and they will invite folks up to receive Holy Communion. Some will come from this row, some will come from this row, and you'll find four different people up here. The first will have bread. The bread is only gluten-free. So know that everyone may receive gluten-free bread. So you can take a piece of that, it's already cut, take a piece of that, and then you have a choice. You can either dip your piece of bread into the big cup of grape juice and receive Holy Communion through intinction and then eat it, or you can skip that and eat your bread and then just drink the cup of grape juice, the little cup of grape juice, and then place the little cup into the basket. So again, we serve grape juice only, so all may receive Holy Communion if they would like. As you're done, you can do one of two things. You can go back to your pew and you can sit and meditate, pray, or if you would like, you're welcome to kneel at the communion rail for as long as you'd like and have some prayer time that way. So I think that's everything. Oh, and you're going to come up this way and go out by the windows and find your seat. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the living one. Great are your words, O God. We see the works of your hands and delight in them. When we turn from you, you remain true to your covenant with us. You are gracious and merciful, providing food for bodies and souls. And so we raise our voices to praise you with all who have ever done so. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In every age you raise up prophets, speaking your word for us through them. In time you sent your Son. He taught as one with authority, standing his ground in the face of evil in order to make room for love. He sat at tables with friends, strangers, and those in need of acceptance. And he called out people to go and do likewise. We gather here to learn from him as others did. We gather here to stand our ground against evil and proclaim justice sustained by this holy meal. On the night before he was brutally murdered on the cross, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ was risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his love. By your Spirit, one with each other, and one in mystery to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Will my servers please come forward? We come together here because of the simple fact all are welcome. We are united by our shared vision to feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit. And our offering is one way that we affirm our commitment to that vision. Don't forget to put your yellow slips in the offering plate as the ushers come by and collect our offering, and the choir bless us with song.
In response to Micah's famous call to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God, we are using thoughts by Bishop Peggy Johnson on how to discern between charity and justice as our prayer of dedication. Charity is an act of kindness. There are times when charity can be an appropriate and necessary response to people in crisis. It can become a lifeline to people on the verge of drowning. There are also limitations, however, associated with the giving of charity. Limitations that must not be ignored. Limitations that challenge us to move beyond charity to justice. These are those limitations. With charity, the life of the receiver does not change for the long term. Charity is seductive. It makes the giver feel good about helping someone in need. Charity can also cause shame. Charity also leads to fatigue in the giver. With charity, the giver feels good, relieved of guilt, but the recipient soon feels the same old hunger pains. In fact, the giving of charity can actually make a bad situation worse as the root cause continues to exist, but the motivation to solve the problem is alleviated. We are here to worship a God who makes a way where there is no way, a God for whom all things are possible, we commit to not only feeding the hungry, but to building a world where hunger is no more, where overcoming stories are a thing of the past, because barriers to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness have all been broken down. Amen. Now please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing, Christ Has Broken Down the Wall.
Christ has broken down the wall. Christ has broken down the wall. Let us join our hearts as one. Christ has broken down the wall. We're accepted as we are.
Alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the prophet Micah, and Jesus, we proclaim our belief that the realm of God is near and we can indeed fully become the beloved community. May how we behave ever reflect how much we believe in God's truth and love. Amen.